What can I say about Pastor Robert Daniels? First thing I'd like to say is the impact that he's had on my life cannot be quantified. In 2007, our church was about 4 years old, Living Hope. And I talked to a lot of pastors, and they say that the Lord had to build them up, you know, build up their confidence. The Lord had to do the opposite for me. He had to humble me. Because when we started our church, I was just absolutely sure that we were going to have thousands of people within the first year. And when so many of my hopes and dreams were dashed, so many of my expectations seemed to come to nothing, I found myself in 2007 feeling discouraged and depressed and battling things that I thought I was beyond, post-ministry depression and all of these things. And I remember in the middle of that year just thinking, I need to go see Pastor Daniels. I'd known him for a number of years. But I went to his church in the middle of the week, and in the middle of the day, he was sitting in his sanctuary in the middle of the day, calling out the names of the members of his church and praying for them one by one. And I sat behind him, and I just listened, and I followed him, and I began to pray with him. And every time I would go and I would just sit behind him and listen to him pray, I would leave feeling just on fire. I would leave feeling powerful. I'd leave feeling alive. And from that day forward, he began to speak into my life. And it wasn't long before I realized that this man was my spiritual father, that this was the person that God had put in my life to shepherd my soul and to shepherd the soul of my wife and my family. And so it's been a tremendous journey. We've learned so much. We continue to learn. So thankful for who he is. He's Pastor Daniels is like a sage. And he's like a mystic. I mean, he just spends time with God. And that's his ministry. He spends time with God, and then he loves people. Now, I'll tell you this one story, and then I'll invite him up. I got invited to preach, and I asked him to go with me someplace in the Bay Area a couple of years ago. And at the end of the service, I had an altar call, and I was, you know, laying hands on people and praying. And I looked behind me, and he went to the row and just hugged the first person. And when he let them go, they fell out on the floor. And then he hugged the second person, and they broke and wept. He has what I call these atomic hugs. No one can stand up to a Pastor Daniels hug. Who can stand? No one can stand it. And so if you can get an atomic hug from him at the end of this message, do it. Matter of fact, at the end of the message, line up, and he's going to give an atomic hug and an individualized prophetic word, he and his wife, to every single person in this room. And his wife, Pastor Diane, is a powerful prophet of God as well. And so they're a dynamic duo, a powerful couple. But ladies and gentlemen, would you just welcome Pastor Bishop Robert Daniels.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here. I tell you that I've been just overwhelmed with the joy and just the life that's in this house. This is a great house, and I can tell the builder is God. I can tell that the Spirit of the Lord is alive within you because there's freedom and liberty. And I'm so blessed and honored. I want to tell you, I know Pastor Benjamin began to tell you about my journey with the Lord, and I had to, you know, when the Lord touches your life, all you want to do is you want to please him. But one of the things I had to learn is that you have to learn how to yield to him so that he can draw you into his presence. If you are not able to yield, it'll be hard for him to draw you and impossible for him to lead you. So I had to learn how to allow God to do whatever he wanted to do, take as long as he wanted to. And it wasn't easy. There were many times that I was in a hurry And God doesn't seem to be in a hurry at all. Matter of fact, he likes to do it right the first time so he doesn't have to do it over again. And so what I'm talking about is a work in the heart. And nobody but God has power in your heart. I discovered that we don't even know our heart. We have to let God be God. And that's what I'm praying today, that God will just begin to draw you into his presence. I want to speak to you out of the title of True Worship. Walking with God, walking in the truth, living from the inside out. I want you to understand that he's the source of the river. He's the Lord of the river that flows out of your heart. The river of life. He's a life-giving spirit. So I'm going to be speaking because we're on a journey. The Apostle Paul said, I don't just come to preach the gospel, but he said, I come to impart my very life because you're dear to me. So as I minister, I want you to understand that over the years I haven't studied the Word of God for knowledge. I don't read the Bible for knowledge. I read the Bible for spirit and life. Knowledge just puffs you up. But if God begins to breathe on you out of the scripture, it changes you. Even when you don't know you're being changed. Again, I had to learn that you can't even come to God unless he draw you. I had to begin to yield to him because I found out I was ordering the relationship. I was telling God when I should pray and how long and all of that. And he had to change that. Just giving you a little background on how God begins to move in your life. Because after we're done, we are never going to be the same again. So let us pray. And I want you to yield and let God draw you. I want you to let him draw you in the depths of your inner being, in the place where he dwells. Yield so that we can go on this journey. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of living God, you are the one that's leading us. You're the one that's opening our heart. Remove every limitation. Go into places that have been tormented by fear and doubt and unbelief, and take us out. Holy Spirit, move on us in the name of Jesus. I'm going to begin with a familiar scripture, but I'm praying that God will speak to us out of it. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. But before he took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's the only thing that I really, really want to do, is to please God. And what I've discovered, that if you walk with God, little by little, you begin to lose yourself, and you begin to gain a new revelation of who God is. Now, if we go to Genesis chapter 5, it talks about Enoch, and it talks about the fact that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Now, I want to clarify, I didn't say 300 days. He walked with God 300 years. And God took him. The Bible even says it in this way, and he was not. Now, that is not easy to be not. It's not easy to walk with God and begin to lose your desires and lose your power and lose your strength and lose your thinking of how you're going to fix things and how you're going to do things. It's not easy, but Enoch walked with God until he was not, and the Bible said God took him. He took him. And he pleased God. And I call that true worship, walking with God, walking in the truth, allowing God to do whatever he wants to do, and bringing you into a revelation of who you are. And what I've learned is walking with God simply means walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the only one who knows what God desires. That's why when I was just beginning, I thought God was a mystery, because I didn't understand that God had given me the Holy Spirit to reveal him to. Not only him, but reveal the things about him, the deep things of God. It is the Spirit, as you walk with him and as you begin to see only him. We have to allow God to change our hearts so that we can see him. We can see everything else. When I talk to people, they know exactly what the devil is doing. They know exactly what they don't have. But if you ask what God is doing, they don't know. And when I found out, I was fighting him too. I didn't know that he was changing me. He was transforming me. And that was true worship. When he calls me, he draws me to him. Self. We have to understand that we don't even know how to pray as we ought. You see, we can think we know all that we need to know about God, and we have not known anything. Sometimes when he's doing his best work, that's when we are kicking against him the most. And I tell you, God is drawing us, but there is an enemy that's drawing us as well. And the strategy of the enemy is to get you in the flesh. That's his only real strategy. And he's trying to get you in the flesh. And what you need to know what the flesh is when you start to think about yourself. How bad you have it. But when you are drawn into the Spirit, you begin to see what God is doing. And he brings you into the places that you need to discover who he is. So Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And he had sons and daughters. And God took him. And he was not. It didn't talk about anything that Enoch did except for walking with God and having sons and daughters. It doesn't mean that Enoch didn't do anything. It meant that when you're walking with God and when you're being led by the Spirit, God gets all of the glory. And it's kind of hard when you're not. When you finished walking on the earth and nobody remembers what you did except for your worship. That's what pleases God. So we have to learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth. We got to learn just like you all were doing, worshiping God with spirit and truth. But the thing is, we know how to worship when we gather together as the congregation of the Lord, as the church. But what about worship in your own home, on your job? Do you still know how to worship? Can you still be drawn without the band or the worship leader? Can you allow God to draw you? Or are you too busy? Because when you leave here, you want people to talk about the greatness that you did, the things that you did, and not the fact that you walked with God and God took you. Little by little, God takes you. Little by little, he transformed you. Little by little, you're not worried about the things you used to worry about. Because he'd taken you. I told you that God is looking for true worshipers and true worship. Let's go over to John chapter 4. I just want to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to speak to you out of my heart, and we're going to go someplace in God that we've never been. In John chapter 4, verse 21, keep in mind that we're walking with God and God's seeking true worship. This is Jesus speaking after the woman at the well has said to her, "Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." But Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." We have to understand where to worship. Some of us are worshiping at the wrong mountain. We're worshiping at Mount Sinai when we should be worshiping at Mount Zion. We should be worshiping in a new covenant reality. But we're still worshiping at the place where God is leading you from. He says, you're not going to worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem, but you're going to worship in spirit and truth. And we got to find out what truth is and where that is. I started this journey when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and he said, "What is truth?" It was out of the scripture where Pilate is asking Jesus if he's a king, And Jesus said, for this cause was I born. And he said, I've come to bear witness of the truth. And he said that my kingdom is not from here. And he said that he came to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? We got to know what truth is if we're going to worship. You got to know that truth was standing right before him and he couldn't see. I mean, the depth of the foundation of reality that reveals even in the physical realm, truth standing right before him, and he didn't know. He's asking, what is it? And so I need to know what truth is, because we are supposed to worship in spirit and truth. I realize that he says that we need to know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the church, because it is the house of God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. That God is not just telling us that we are stewards of the truth. He's telling us that we are the truth, the pillar of the truth, and we got to know how to walk in the truth, and we got to know how to live in the truth, and we got to know how to worship in truth. Now, I'm talking to you because I'm going somewhere, because most of us, we believe a lie rather than believe truth. We're trying to fix things that God has called finishing, and we keep trying to add our little 2 cents to what God has done. Again, we're walking with him, and all of our power and strength that we used to have is leaving us, because God wants to show you. He wants to demonstrate to you his power and his glory and his wisdom. So what is truth? The word of God is truth. It is the seed that you were born of. It's the seed that when you learn how to live your life from the inside out, God's seed came in your innermost being. And you were born again, and everything changed in you, and nothing is ever the same, and you don't know it. You keep acting as if everything is the same and everything has changed. Nobody would have to set you free, because if you know the truth, you know that the truth is the foundation of freedom. That the truth is, if you abide in my word and my word abide in you, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you are the pillar and foundation of the truth, then freedom should always be in your life. And God is trying to reveal to you how powerful you are, that nothing can take you out, nothing can cause you to fail, because God has given you his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit has been sent to help you. I'm yelling because I'm saying something good. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm declaring the righteousness of God. But sometimes we have to be yelled at in order to be shifted into reality of the truth. Sometimes we are praying for God to take away our sin, and he said, I've already done that. He is the Lamb that takes away the sins, and there's nothing else he can do and add to it. But we have to learn how to be the pillar and the foundation of the truth. We got to learn how to walk in truth. We got to learn how to worship in truth. Not just on retreat time or Sunday or in home fellowship, but we have to walk this thing out every day. You got to remember, Enoch walked for 300 years in the truth with God. And don't tell me when you get close to God that you don't have any problems. Yes, you do. Everything in hell is trying to come against you. But you can't turn your eyes and your mind towards what's going on outward. where I used to make my mistake. I used to want to confirm what God has said to me in the sight realm when it can only be confirmed with the witness of the Spirit. And so he's speaking to us about truth. He's speaking to us about walking with God. He's speaking to us about pleasing him. And you have to have faith 300 years if you walk with God. I know we use the situation faith when we need God to do something for us. We try to muster up enough faith to get God to do what we want him to do. And we don't know how to live by faith. Every day, every step. No matter what's going on in my life, I won't be moved. Because I learned how to worship God. I learned how to worship God. And we got to understand what that really means. Our prayer life changes. Our worship life changes. As we go out, things change around us because we've been with God. He draws us. He brings us outside of ourselves. He takes us beyond. We're looking up to the mind of the Lord. We want to know what he's thinking. Church, I'm here to let you know that you don't have to submit to all of the things that you've been submitting to. See, I know the lies that have been told to you. And a lot of times when the enemy is coming to lie to you, all he wants is your desire to start to look at something outside of yourself that would make you better. I told you the chief strategy of the enemy is to pull you in the flesh. That's his strategy. And these are high level demonic forces that want to do this to the church, but you know what? He uses low-level demonic foolishness that pull you into the flesh, telling you that you don't look good enough, telling you that you have your nose is too big, telling you that you don't look right, and all of a sudden my mind is on myself and it's not on God anymore. You ought to be able to speak to that and say, that's just foolishness. That's just low-level foolishness. I will not come down from my place. Start talking about how I look when I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that God took a lot of time forming this body of clay that was going to perish. Because he knows what's in you. He knows what's in you, and you've forgotten that the Holy Spirit is in you. That's why you're always looking for something outside. You're looking for the answers to all your problems outside, and Holy Spirit is drawing you into the inner sanctuary of your own being. That's uncharted territory. We know more about Mars and the moon than we know about our inner being. If we knew who we really was, we would not be complaining. Oh yes, God would take you through things, but he knows that you're going to make it through. When you came down here, Jesus said, I'm not even from here, and you're not from him, and his kingdom is not from here. You're not from here either. So you got to know that when he sent you with DNA. He said that nothing would be able to stop you. And wherever you are born, and I want to tell you, we don't choose the place that we are born. We don't even choose our parents. We are born in, but God knew you before. And he knew that you are able, if you learn the truth, if you ever find the truth, if you ever start walking with God, if you ever start leaning not to your own understanding, but trusting in him. You know why we don't have much peace? Because our mind is on ourselves. But when my mind is on the Spirit, it's life. Peace. And everyone has to understand that That when you are born into this world, you got to understand that Jesus is your pattern. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the power of God overshadowing Mary. But he was born like every other baby. He came into what I call the natural order, a supernatural seed. Conceived by the power of God, by the Spirit, but born like every other baby. Born in the natural order. When he was told, his parents were told that he had to go from Galilee to Judea, he had to walk like everybody else. He had to ride a donkey. She had to ride a donkey just like everybody else. She was carrying a supernatural seed, but God didn't go out of his way to make things better or easy. He could have easily created something to make the life of Jesus better, this supernatural seed, but he comes into a world that's hostile and trying to kill him even as he is a baby. I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you by the Spirit. You think that God is mean to you. He think he won't help you. He knows that you have the ability to overcome whatever you are born in, whatever circumstance, but you have to realize that. I'm saying a lot, but you can listen to it. He had to grow like every other baby. God didn't speed up everything, even though people were dying and he's a savior. He had to grow up like every other baby, a supernatural seed born of the Holy Spirit, just like you. Talking about walking with God and hearing his voice and being transformed and being changed. He had to wait on his ministry. 30 years. But he wasn't worried about time, although time, the natural order, he had to submit to. Church, time is a gift from God. If you use it right. Time is a gift of God. If you're not trying to hurry up because you know who you are. At 12 years old he started his ministry, but he had to submit. Because it wasn't time yet. Had to learn how to see God's face. Look into his eyes. Some of us are afraid to look in God's eyes. Some of us don't know that you are forgiven. Some of you don't know that the Holy Spirit is here to help you. He's not here to beat you down. But he's speaking to us because he wants us to come into this new freedom called truth. And I'm telling you that even in the midst of walking this out, Jesus had peace because he knew that was a time where he was learning how to be with the Father, how to hear his voice, how to open his heart and yield. So when this was time for him to minister, 30 years later, before he ever did any miracles, before he ever did anything that anyone would even notable, he was hidden. Nobody even knew him, and no one would be even drawn to him. God didn't even, the way we think, didn't even give him a beautiful body. They said nothing was in him that drew anybody to him. They looked at him as common, nothing. Most people rejected him and turned their face from him, and that's what he had to live through. But that was the time when he was separated unto the Father. Most of us don't know how to be separated. We say how mean God is because people that you shouldn't even be around, they're turning their backs on you. That's a gift from God, but you don't know how to be separated to God. All you want is people around you. You want to be known and heard, and God wants to know you. And he wants to be known. How come God wants to be with you more than you want to be with him? How come God wants to be with you? How come he's seeking you out today, drawing you, and you don't want to come sometimes? You have to use the gift of time that he's given you wherever you are for him to transform you. I told you that we have walked with God, and we're not because God took him. Change is happening all the time, and we think we're losing something when we're losing that old nature. How many times you pray to God, telling him, God, if you just do this for me, I'll be all right. You don't even know what you need God to do. Holy Spirit knows, and he's praying the will of God for you. The last thing that I would say to you, as I'm getting ready to close, is that when God began to draw you and he begins to open your eyes to see things that you didn't know were there, when he begins to open your eyes and you even see who you are, and you've been troubled by so many things that you thought was going to take you out, and you are listening to the wrong voices, and you don't understand that the reality that God is trying to bring you into is truth. He wants you to learn how to walk in truth. The last scripture is 3 John 1:2. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle John, church. This is the truth. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you. Now, this is the testimony of the truth that's not outside of you. This is the truth that's in you. This is Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And I want to tell you by the Spirit that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can lead you into all truth. He's the only one that can bring you into this reality that I'm talking about, that there is no lie in the truth. There is nothing but good in the truth. There is not good and evil. There's only good. There's only blessing. There's only life that God has promised you. That's why I say sometimes we are worshiping at the wrong mountain. We're worshiping at the mountain that says, if you do all that I say, then I will bless you. But if you don't, then I will curse you. If you do what I tell you to do, then you will live. If you don't, you die. Nobody was able to keep that but Jesus. And he brought a new covenant of the Spirit. And all God is speaking to you is good things. But our ears have become dull of good, and we can only hear negative things. And that's why we spend most of our time fighting negative things, because that's all we hear. We hear the lie. But what I want to tell you again, Holy Spirit is saying, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper. And I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, just as you walk in the truth. And the Holy Spirit is speaking. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy that God has, that we are being worshipers, that we are walking with God, that we know what true worship is worshiping the Spirit in spirit, because God is spirit, and he brings you into the reality of victory, of blessing, of light, and of joy. Now remember, I said that you are the pillar and foundation of the truth. You're not stewards of the truth. You are the pillar and foundation of the truth. Everywhere that you go, there should be freedom, there should be joy, there should be prosperity. But we have to begin to believe the truth. We believe the lies so long. Until we're confused, we walk in the things and we think, just because the enemy comes against us with a lie, that we have to believe that lie. We don't have to be deceived. We ought to understand that a lie is the seed of the devil. He's the father of a lie, but God is the father of truth. And we've been born of truth. And even though we have to walk in the natural order, walking out our salvation, we all not want to get in a hurry. I get so tired of the people of God wanting to be in a hurry. Where are you going? The Holy Spirit is not moving. I don't want to go. If he's not leading. And he's spending time teaching you how to yield. He's teaching you how to have a sensitive heart. When he draws you, will you come? Time is a gift. Time is a gift. Time is a gift. It's not your enemy. You don't have to be rushing. I don't care if you were 70, 80 years old. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. God, he treats us all different. Some of us can go fast, but I'm measuring my life by Jesus. It took him 30 years. It took him 30 long years. Everybody in a hurry going by him. He's the Savior, and he has to wait. He is the truth. He came to bear witness of the truth. He is the truth. And God birthed him into this natural order of things. So, church, as you awaken now, Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes than you tell him that I'm going to pray for an hour. Or 2 hours. Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes if you are drawn into his presence and you yield and he leads you into truth. I never find my way in the things of God without the Spirit of God leading me. Oh, praise be to the name of the Lord. I'm speaking right now into your innermost being. I'm enlarging you. I'm stretching you. I'm going in the not your mind. Not your mind now. I'm not dealing with your mind. I'm dealing with the innermost being. I'm dealing with your heart. Not the thing that pumps blood. I'm dealing with your innermost being. I'm stretching you. I'm telling you who you are. That you don't have to bow to a lie. This is the truth. God wants you to prosper. He wants you not to be restricted. Freedom means that I can go anywhere that he tells me to go. I can do anything that he called me to do. I don't have to spend any more time worrying about how I look to other people. I only want to please him. That will set you free. If when you are ministering, the only person you want to please is him. That you can tell when he's pleased. The testimony that I want to hear, and that I please God. Not that I built anything. God is the builder of everything. Doesn't mean that you don't do all of the great things. You were called to greatness. You were called to greatness. But let God reveal the greatness that's in you. You don't have to yield to anything that's not building you up. And right now you're too powerful to be bound by anything. You're too powerful to be bound by anything. The truth makes you free. In whom the Son has set free, you're free indeed. There's nothing can bound you. Sometimes we stoop down and let the enemy put chains around us, but all we need to do is get up and shake those chains off of us. Isaiah 52 tells us that we need to rise up, church, and shake the chains off of you. I'm speaking freedom now. Nobody's laying hands on you. This is in your inner being. You're going to say, wait a minute, I don't have to stoop down and submit to this. I don't have to submit to it. I'm too big inside. I'm too big. They used to could control you. They used to could hinder you. Demonic forces used to could deceive you, but you're too big. Too large inside. Holy Spirit comes and he makes you, he enlarges your territory. He begins to say that I am in you. And you're different. You're different. You're not like any other man, a mere man. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's dwelling in your innermost being. And even though you don't believe, he's doing exactly what pleases him. He's not worried about the things you're worried because he's not in a hurry. He said, I can come at the last moment and speak one word. And you'll stop your pity party. You'll stop your blaming everybody else. You'll open up your mouth. And you begin to talk to God like David. You begin to worship him by turning your heart to him. This is the absolute last thing I'll say. Jesus would get up early in the morning before day and he would pray in a solitary place. But his prayer to God in that early morning was, Lord, help me to behold your face. In the early morning, he was positioning his heart so they could see God. He wasn't praying about 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. He was simply positioning the Lord so that he would always be before him. Because, church, if you ever learn this, that if you can see him and you can see what he's doing, you can begin to walk like Jesus, because he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. But he had to position his heart, because everything pulls you away from your beholding him. Everything seems more important than what God has called you to do, and it comes pulling you, and you have to learn how to discipline your heart. So could we stand for a moment? Apostolically and prophetically, and as a father, I speak over this house and the torment that has been in our life. And I've felt it too. When you walk with God, you have to walk with him every day. You can't take a day off. You can't take an hour off. You can't take a minute off. You have to walk with him. I told you I'm speaking to your innermost being. Your spirit is going to begin to bring forth things that you're going to renew your mind with over time. I want you to open your heart right now. I impart to you the ability to hear God. Not somewhere out there, but in your innermost being. I declare that there's a prophetic spirit in your innermost being. That has more influence on you than the world. There have been times when you wanted to give up and you wanted to quit, but God said, I won't let you quit. I won't let you give up. I'm going to keep you in this natural order until you grow up and mature, and then I'm going to release my miracles through you. I'm going to raise this house up to do miracles and signs and wonders that will glorify my name. You're going to build nations. You're going to strengthen the innermost being of people that are weary with the word. You're going to be taken on journeys in God, to higher heights and deeper depths. And the things that used to trip you are no longer going to trip you anymore. Church, let's rejoice for just a moment in what God has done already. There is nothing greater than your salvation. But we have to begin to bear witness of the truth that we have been set free. We have been delivered. He wants us to prosper in everything that we do. We need to speak prosperity over our children, over our home. And we need to learn how to worship in the inner sanctuary of your own heart. The most beautiful place is in you, because God is dwelling in you. Could we take just a few more moments? Be enlarged. Be enlarged. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Could we worship just for a moment? Just for a moment. Let your spirit be released. Unlocking your spirit, being. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Sorrow, discouragement, it leaves. You have freedom now. Come on, let's give him a shout. Let's give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm sealing this word in your heart, in the spirit of it, and the life of it. We'll just continue to grow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've heard. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. Who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you are perfect in all of your ways. To us, oh, you are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Let's close our eyes for a moment, and that's a quote that we use a lot here. We're not spiritual beings enjoying a temporary human experience, but we are human beings. I'm sorry, we're spiritual beings enjoying a temporary human experience. I totally messed that up, but you guys know what I'm saying. I really feel like there are a lot of you that were listening in as the bishop was sharing, and there's something going on inside of you. It's not an emotional thing, it's a spiritual thing. There's something deep inside, there's a yearning, a longing, something's happening. You may not even be able to put a language to it, but you recognize it. And we just want to give God some space right now to recognize that. And so that's where you're at. I just want you to come to the front, and we're just going to pray for you. And it's a spiritual matter. So just simply, it doesn't matter what the situation, what the condition, just close your eyes, open your hands and your heart. And the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, that's also yearning and longing, wants to manifest itself in your life even more so. The Bible just tells us that we are to lay hands and pray. And it's really the Father that's doing it all. And so just receive. Some of you guys even come up and, now when we say this, just don't say anything. You don't need to talk. You know, when you're kissing someone, you don't talk. You just enjoy. And just let the Lord just kiss you right now. And the bishop and his wife are just going to come, just going to lay hands and pray for you. Pastor Benjamin as well, so you guys come up. Other pastors. Just receive. In our culture as Asians and living in Asia, we're such a performance-oriented culture. And the word that, the whole thing of Enoch, and he was not. And it's cut me to the core because I feel like I try to be all the time. I spend my whole life trying to be somebody, something. He says, Enoch walked with God and he was not. Coming to that place and saying, God, I want to be not. I want to get my soul, my every being to the place where I'm not. So come, Holy Spirit, and keep. Thank you, Jesus. And you don't have to wait for people to pray for you. So that the Holy Spirit do that work and just give yourself. What's going to happen is the Spirit's going to nudge some of your heart and just open that place up to Him. It might be a little painful even, but just open up that space to Him so He can do the work that only He can do. And when we come around and pray for you, we're just agreeing with what Holy Spirit's already doing in you. Spirit is saying to a number of you right now, just let go. God's saying, you can trust me, just let go. All the burdens in your family, just let go. God said, I got that. The pressure you've been feeling at work, just let go. The Father says, that's easy for me. Just let go. Things are not quite working out and you feel so deficient. You're wondering, what's wrong with me? I know there's some of you that are trying to get pregnant. You're wondering, what's wrong with me? The Holy Spirit says there's nothing wrong. He's perfect in all of his ways. Just let go. Not in any hurry right now. Let's just stay in this place. Just keep fixing our eyes on Him. I want to just release our leaders, actually anyone, if these are some of your friends that are up here, you can come up and just start praying with them. I'll just lay hands and just love on them. Just let Jesus continue to do that work. Let's do what we do as a church. Let's find someone and let's just pray with them. And something that happens when we get together. So Pastor Nate, just continue to lead us.
perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to love so undeniable, I can hardly speak in peace, so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, it's who I am, it's who I
from my mother.
brotherhood, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no
Let's all rise to our feet and let's sing this together, huh?
You unravel me. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and see. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child.